Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Sometimes when I hear very bad news, sometimes when the world just seems to be spinning out of control, I will say, I just wish I could sit, lay in bed and pull the covers over my head until it all passes away. Have you ever felt like that, that you just like to crawl under the covers? Now, some of you had that experience this week. Some of you crawled under the covers before the last play. Do you know what I'm talking about? Now, those of you who are not from this area, I will fill you in. I am new to the area as of 5 years ago, and when I got off the plane in Green Bay for the first time, I recognized there was something in the air that was very different. It all looked green and gold. And I knew that the Packers were very important to the culture. And I started to learn about the Packers. I figured if I was going to minister in Wisconsin, I had to know about Packers. And this past week, the beloved Packers were on a downhill slide. In fact, someone posted on Facebook during the game, "I want my Packers back." It looked like they were going to go down in ignominy. Now, I must confess, I hadn't watched the whole game, so I wasn't in as much despair as everybody else. But I sat to mark, to bear witness to the ignominious end, because I figured I'd have to do a lot of pastoral care this week. Now, I had heard from people that it was so bad that many went to bed in sorrow before that last play. But I sat there and watched so that I could be pastoral. And I saw this magnificent play by Aaron Rodgers, and they call it a Hail Mary. So I asked my Catholic friend, Father Ruby, I said, "What's all this about a Hail Mary? What does that mean? I know it has something to do with you Catholics." And he said that Notre Dame started that many years ago. They would say a Hail Mary before they would lob the ball. And then it became known as a Hail Mary because they knew it would take a supernatural miracle for it to happen. I looked up Hail Mary pass on Wikipedia, and in there now, if you look on Wikipedia, is Aaron Rodgers' Hail Mary pass from this past week, because it made history. It was the biggest Hail Mary pass in history. And I thought to myself, when that last pass happened and I watched the stands of the Detroit fans, I did feel sorry for them. And I saw the jubilation. I thought, you know, there's a sermon in this. I'm going to find the sermon. For those who stayed up till the bitter end, for those who did not pull the covers over their heads and go to sleep, they saw something thrilling, maybe a once-in-a-lifetime thing for Packers fans. But of course, for those who didn't see it, they got the reruns all week long. Every newscast had a rerun. But it just wasn't the same as seeing it for the first time. There are times in life that we want to draw the covers over our heads because terrible things happen. And I'm not talking about losing a football game, but you know those terrible things. We've seen it this week in San Bernardino. We see it daily on the news. Sometimes we want to lift those covers up. And a lot of times when we pray out of that kind of fear and distress. We pray and we beg God to help. But we do it with such anxiety that I wonder if we really believe that there's any help out there. And so I want to talk about praying this Advent season in a very different way. It's the way the Apostle Paul prayed. Now, he knew something about trouble. When he's writing this epistle to the Philippians, he's in prison. Now, you remember the way the Philippian church started? It's one of my favorite church starts. Because Paul was again thrown in prison. And at that time, he was beaten up. He was thrown in jail. And there was an earthquake happened, and the prisoners were set free. And the guy who was keeping them, the jailer, was their first convert. Another convert was a lady who had been sold into slavery because she had the gift of divination. Another woman in that church was Lydia, who was a businesswoman. So this very disparate group got together and formed a church. And Paul had very few days with them before he had to go on, and yet formed this very powerful church of a businesswoman, a civil servant, and a slave. What a wonderful story that was. And so Paul is writing again from prison. There's no light when you're in prison. There's no fairness, no justice there for an innocent man to be in prison and know that he will probably be spending the rest of his life there. There wasn't much joy in Philippi because the people who were Christ followers were bucking the system and the culture. And yet, when Paul writes about prayer in a time where there's great anxiety, he writes this: every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy. In every one of my prayers for all of you, I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. And so I would encourage us in this Advent season, instead of pulling the blankets over our heads and saying, "Stop, world, I want to get off," that perhaps we should start praying with joy. So how do we do that? We recall all the wonderful things that God has put in our life. When I pray with joy, I think of that awful situation in San Bernardino. And I think of that one police officer as he was leading people out. And you can imagine the terror with these poor people who have their hands over their heads getting out to safety. It's still an active shooter situation. And that cop said to them, "Don't worry, I will take a bullet for you. I count it all joy." That there are people, first responders, who are so dedicated to their job that even in the midst of terror, they're there to protect the people. I count it all joy. I think of the joy of family. I think of the joy of friends. I think of the joy in the past when I've been at my wit's end and God has sent somebody to me to speak a word of peace and a word of joy. When we pray, instead of praying with such anxiety that, well, you know, it's a Hail Mary, Lord, I don't know if it's ever going to happen, perhaps we need to start praying with thanksgiving as Paul did. He was so confident in the midst of prison imprisonment that he could say, "I'm praying with joy." And as I thought of the Apostle Paul, I too had joy that he was in prison. Because had he been the successful evangelist, some of the ones that we see today, that go from place to place, that seem to be made of Teflon, nothing ever bad happens to them, and they go from place to place and they have one success after another. If that had been Paul, we probably would not have our New Testament. And if we did, how could we relate to someone who was so popular and everything was going well? But we can relate to somebody who, in the midst of imprisonment, who in the midst of unfairness, in the midst of violence, can say, "I remember with such joy, and I am confident. That's the kind of Advent prayers that I hope that we can say today, that we are confident in Christ. But he goes further than that. He's not only confident, want to hear what he prays for. He does not pray that their situations will change. He does not pray that it will get better for the Philippian church and that they will have an easy time of it. He does not pray that his imprisonment will end. What does he pray for? He says, "This is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that on the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness." He prays that instead of God taking them out of whatever situation they are, that they're going to love each other more and more. So as they love each other more and more and work together, the kingdom of God will come and there'll be a harvest of righteousness. And that's a prayer that we have today, that all those who are called by God's name would love each other more and more, would have each other's back more and more. It is so easy when we are in trouble to isolate ourselves and say, you know, I just can't handle anymore. But how much God wants us to band together so that we can demonstrate the love and the power of God, regardless of our circumstances. So the next time the covers are going up over our heads, take them off and start praying with all joy, with all thanksgiving. Recall the wonderful things God has done in our lives and the lives of people around us, and find a way to have joy. This is what Christ gives to us, no matter what our circumstances are, the joy that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord, which comes to us in so many ways, expected and unexpected. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful that this peace that you give us, that this love that surrounds us, that this joy that is within us is regardless of our circumstances. And I ask for that one who is struggling today, that as we partake in the Lord's Supper, that that one would come to know your peace that passes all understanding, your joy beyond measure, and your light in darkness. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.